Before we come around the Lord's table, let's just have some thoughts from God's word. The writer to the Hebrews said, "But now we do not see all things put under him," that's you and I, mankind, "but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God might taste death for everyone." On this Good Friday, let me ask you, what is the desire of your heart this morning? Do you love Jesus? More than anything else, is he the center of your life? Is this the desire of your heart? We need to be open to the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit into our walk with him. And oh, that God would draw us close, that we would see Jesus, who he is and what he has done. The writer to the Hebrews asks the question, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" And then he gives us a glimpse of man's glory and dominion made in the image and the likeness of God. But because of disobedience, a curse came upon the whole earth, and the relationship with God brought separation. We read, "But now we do not see all things in subjection under him." In other words, man is living in a state of disobedience, but we see Jesus. Sin entered the world, bringing fear, bringing bondage, bringing sickness. And whilst my spirit is born again, my body is still waiting for the day of redemption. My emotions can bring negativity, insecurity. I am vulnerable to oppression and depression. Life's journey can be tough because now we don't see all things put under him. That's you and I. Because we live in this world, that's governed by a curse, governed by sin. We encounter many hardships along the way, whether that be pressure, circumstances, distractions. So how do we fight this fight? We fight it by allowing the Spirit of God to give us an understanding of Jesus. Our prayer ought to be, "Oh God, as we come around this table today, open my eyes that I would see Jesus." Because here in verse 9, the writer to the Hebrews gives us hope. Whilst man is in a period or in a state of disobedience, but we see Jesus. We do live in a dark world where there are many questions in life that go unanswered. But this morning, God has given us a precious gift, a living hope. And our hope revolves around his plan for our lives. We do not see all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Today you might be in isolation. Some may be experiencing death. Some might be in pain and affliction. Some might be overwhelmed by fear and anxiety. But we see Jesus. I want you to note that we see the lovely Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Throughout the Gospels, we get hints, clues, and whispers about the identity of this man called Jesus. First in what he said about himself, and in what he did. He is God, he is precious. We read in the word that your name is ointment poured forth. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, said that God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the reason for loving him is not because of what he has done for us, but because of who he is. He is the altogether lovely one. He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. We love him for himself, And we are drawn to him by virtue of the greatness of his person and the worth of his name. God desires that we are consistent as we behold the loveliness of Jesus. But we also see the lowly Jesus, because the writer here says, made a little lower than the angels. For what? That by the grace of God, he would suffer death for every man. That he would suffer death. And we see his loneliness and his humility in dying in our place. But I want you to understand too, that we see the lonely Jesus. Consider for a moment how he suffered, how he tasted death for you and I. We read of his loneliness there in Gethsemane. We read that he had withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." We read, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became great drops of blood falling to the ground. And here we have a picture in Gethsemane of the lonely Jesus. He prayed, "Take this cup from me, not my will, but thine be done." What was this cup? This was the cup of suffering. This was the cup of God's wrath. The prophet Jeremiah records in chapter 25, "Take this cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to drink it." It is not the cup itself, but the contents of what was in the cup that Jesus was referring to. The contents, he was about to drink of God's wrath. And here in Gethsemane, he is reminded about what he was about to drink. You see, a cup that had accumulated the fury of God against all sins of all types. Of evil, murder, greed, selfishness, dishonoring thoughts were poured into that cup. My past, my present, my future sins were poured into that cup. And that was the cup that he was about to drink on the cross. Peter, trying to defend Jesus, as they came to arrest him, Jesus said to Peter, "Put away your sword, Peter. The cup which the Father has given to me, shall I not drink?" And then we see the lonely Jesus, not only there in Gethsemane, but we see the lonely Jesus in Golgotha. Because in John's Gospel, chapter 19, we read, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. And as darkness fell over the earth, and as he drank this cup, God poured out his wrath on his son, as Christ faced hell before death. Being forsaken by his father, he cries out, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Today, ours is a cup of blessing because of what he did at Golgotha. We read in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, where Paul says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we would be made right through God, through Christ." Today, my cup overflows because of what he had done for me 2,000 years ago. Like the psalmist, we can say, "Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing." Like the psalmist, we can declare, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me." Today, you and I are invited to come and drink off the cup of the new covenant, in remembrance of him. As Jesus said, there on the supper before he went to die at Golgotha, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come." So as we come this morning to the Lord's table, the table of remembrance, let us remind ourselves what Jesus has done for us. But before we come, let us remind ourselves that we would see Jesus, not only the lonely Jesus who died and tasted death, but let us see the exalted Jesus, high and lifted up. Because we read here in Hebrews, crowned with glory and honor, because God has highly exalted him. So, thank God we see the lofty Jesus. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. He is my Lord. Don't allow your experience of hardship to change your theology downwards to what you're going through. But we see Jesus. Pain and suffering may be part of your journey in this life. Maybe you are struggling with life's pressures, the demands that life brings to you. Maybe you feel out of control because of the coronavirus. Maybe because you are on lockdown and isolated. But we see Jesus. Where is he sitting? He's sitting on a throne. Not beside a throne, not under the throne, but on the throne. He reigns. This is our Jesus. So let us come around this table of remembrance.